It's been more than 4 months since Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie empowered the Chamber's Judiciary Committee to launch an impeachment investigation into Governor Andrew Cuomo's personal conduct. And since then, the scope of the probe has broadened to cover actions by the administration, and privately retained attorneys have begun to work on behalf of the committee. For an update on what's happening and how it's happening, we're joined by Assembly Judiciary Committee member Mary Beth Walsh, a Capital Region Republican. Welcome back to the show, Assembly Member.
Thank you very much, Dave.
So broadly speaking, how would you describe, I guess, the state of the Assembly's investigation right now?
It has different pieces to it because I'd say it's a pretty broad scope to the investigation. So as you mentioned, we're looking at things involving things like the nursing home, reporting of data, the governor's book deal, all of the sexual harassment and discrimination complaints that were lodged that the AG is also investigating. We're even looking at the Mario M. Cuomo or Tappan Zee Bridge issue as well, as to whether that was potentially the allegation being that, you know, potentially it was rushed in some way from an engineering point of view to fit perhaps a narrative that the governor wanted to have it open at a certain time in an election year. So there's a lot of different pieces to the investigation. And Davis Polk, the law firm that has been retained to assist with the investigation, they have different attorneys who have been assigned to different pieces, different subject areas of the investigation. And so it's kind of moving forward in that way.
During this process, what's the committee's role? Because, like you mentioned, there are these privately retained attorneys. So is it the committee's job to, I guess, steer the direction from like 10,000 feet? And maybe not necessarily steer, but get updated on and follow along with?
The way I see my role is that we are here to get routine, regular updates. And I was a big proponent right from the beginning of saying, you know, Zoom is not going to cut it here. We need to be live and in person. Even if the attorneys that are doing the investigation have to appear by Zoom, we want to be all in the same room together to be able to hear and question. And so we've been able to arrange our most recent meeting and the one that's coming up. It will be held in Albany. It'll be in a big hearing room, and we'll be able to do it that way. I think, you know, 10,000 feet might be a little high. I think, you know, we want to direct the work. We want to listen to what the progress is in the different investigation areas and be able to assess, you know, whether that seems to be moving in the right direction, whether we want them to, you know, maybe stop work on one area and really focus more on a different area. So I would say that we are a bigger picture. They are doing more of the nuts and bolts pieces of the investigation, but we are very much interested in directing it and knowing what's happening as it's happening too.
Since Davis Polk was hired, I think there have been 4 public meetings of the Judiciary Committee dealing with the impeachment investigation specifically, the last one being, I think, on June 30th. Are you getting updates outside of those meetings, or is it solely in those meetings where you have a chance to learn about the investigation and interact with those attorneys?
As a member of the Judiciary Committee, that is the way that I'm being updated. Mm-hmm. But I think that the chair, Charles Levine, and our ranking member, Mike Montesano, I think they're in very regular contact with each other just to see, you know, ask how things are going and just to receive updates. So occasionally, for example, members of my conference may be receiving an informal update from, not directly from Davis Polk, but from our ranker. So that's, we're receiving information in between those public meetings in that way.
How do you feel Assembly Judiciary Committee Chair Chuck Levine, who you just mentioned, is doing in this job, which is no easy task considering how many political landmines he's got to try to avoid?
It's a very difficult task. And I, you know, I've worked with Member Levine when I served on the Ethics Committee for the Assembly. So I know him, you know, have worked with him in that respect. I think he takes his role, as he should, and we all do, I think, very seriously. We want to do this the right way. We are willing to deal with the fact that the press is, and the public to some extent, are very frustrated, I think, with this process. And from their perspective, how long it's taking, we're willing to take the criticism for that in order to do the investigation in a way that we think it should be done and be as thorough as we believe we need to be, because there's an awful lot riding on this. I mean, we're talking about a governor that has served a number of terms, who has a legacy to be concerned about. And we want to be sure that before any articles of impeachment, if they are going to be coming forward, that they have been thoroughly vetted and substantiated in a really responsible way. So I think that the chair is doing an admirable job in the work that he's doing. And I would just, you know, want your listeners to know that from my perspective, this is a legit, serious investigation that's being conducted.
Well, you mentioned that issue of bringing impeachment, I guess, formal charges. Do you feel like we need to play out this process with regards to looking into the governor's conduct before bringing that formal proceeding? Or do you feel like some of your colleagues on both sides of the aisle that even without this inquiry and what it might generate, there was enough on the table to impeach the governor and potentially remove him from office?
I know that some of my colleagues have stated that they think that impeachment is more of a political statement, almost like a vote of no confidence kind of a thing. But that's, you know, and we don't have a ton of history, at least regarding impeachment of a New York governor. We only have that one from around the turn of the last century. So, you know, in a way, we're sort of creating this process and following this process as we believe it's appropriate. I personally think that if you're going to come forward as a committee with articles of impeachment, and then those articles will be voted on by the assembly as a whole, and if there's a majority vote in favor of those impeachment articles or some of them, then they're going to head right over to the Senate for the second part. And so from my perspective, this needs to be a really complete and thorough investigation, because that's the file, that's the information that's going to head right over, and that's what the trial will be based on. So if we were to just make kind of a generic, you know, like political statement about impeachment, that certainly doesn't assist. And there's a relatively short time frame, I think. I can't remember what it is, but between the part that the assembly does, this part that we're talking about, and then the next part that would be done in the Senate with the assistance of the Court of Appeals.
In case you're just joining us, we're talking about the Assembly Judiciary Committee's investigation into the governor, and our guest is Assembly Member Mary Beth Walsh, a Capital Region Republican and member of the Judiciary Committee. Well, I'm glad you mentioned how rare this type of thing is, because, like you mentioned, Governor Sulzer, who has not been around for quite a long time, was the last governor to be impeached. So considering that context, when did it really dawn on you, I guess regardless of how the investigation pans out, that you're playing a part in a big bit of history here?
Yeah, I think once we realized that Speaker Hasty was, you know, tasking the Judiciary Committee with this, it really did hit me. And I think having served on the Ethics Committee, you know, I was accustomed for the time that I served to, you know, in handling complaints that were made against members, and handling those. And I think as I look upon the role and kind of the way that we're proceeding as the Judiciary Committee, I kind of rely upon that. And I believe probably the chair does as well, that, you know, everything is being held very, very close to the vest. I suspect that the press has been frustrated because it has been so close to the vest. But I think that that type of confidentiality is necessary in order to reassure the people who may be coming forward, the women that might be coming forward with some testimony concerning particularly the sexual harassment allegations. There could be current employees that will be, you know, asked to speak with the investigators. There's some extremely sensitive information that may be shared. And I just think that we really just have to proceed in a way that really respects the confidentiality. If we do come out with articles of impeachment, then everyone will know what they are and what the basis for them is. So, you know, that, but I think it's just got to be something that's just done with, you know, intention, but I don't think that it's something that we can rush either.
You mentioned the sensitive nature of some of the work that's going on here, specifically with regards to the allegations of sexual misconduct by the governor. And it's that part of the investigation that has drawn some concerns from a group of former legislative staffers who have been able to jam through a lot of anti-harassment legislation in recent years. And this group, it's the Sexual Harassment Working Group, has argued that, you know, the Assembly doesn't have the track record to investigate alleged sexual harassment and wants to leave that aspect of any investigation to the Attorney General's office. Is there anything you could say that might reassure them that the Assembly can handle this task in a sensitive way, like you're talking about, but also in a meaningful and serious way?
The only thing I would say is that when we first interviewed and met with Davis Polk, one of the things that I impressed me, but I think also impressed other members of the Judiciary Committee, was their specific background in sexual harassment investigations and sex discrimination investigations. You know, back in my previous life, I practiced law for 30 years. For a brief time early in my career, like around the early 90s, I did do work in federal court with representing women who had been sexually harassed and retaliated against for complaining about sexual harassment. So it was very important to me that we find a firm and a team that was going to approach the investigation in a way that was sensitive to the women who have come forward and was going to provide, you know, a really good, thorough and principled investigation into the allegations. And I do believe that Davis Polk has got that kind of background. And that's all I can really say. I mean, I can't really address this working group that you're talking about. I haven't had any specific conversations with them about it. I would just say that, you know, when I served on the Assembly Ethics Committee, I think that might have been after the people that we worked with when we were doing those investigations, and this is within the last couple of years, I thought did an excellent job with their investigatory material that we were given in those complaints. I don't know if the working group had concerns about earlier investigations that I wasn't a part of, but I was very satisfied with the work that was being done by the Ethics Committee at the time I served.
So I have plans to go on vacation on August 27th, and I'll be gone for a couple days. Do you think the Assembly's investigation will be done before that, or will it be done after that?
You know, I don't know. I hope you have a great vacation.
You guys haven't been planning around my vacation?
I wouldn't hold your breath. I wouldn't cancel any vacation plans.
Okay.
I mean, I would say, you know, kind of, I mean, I thought that the Attorney General, when she said, you know, the investigation's going to be over when it's over. I mean, it's true. You know, I mean, a lot of it really depends on when we get our next update, which will be in the next couple of weeks. We're arriving at a date right now when that will be. It will be in August, I think towards the beginning of August. Then we'll have a better idea. We know that subpoenas were being issued. We'll be updated as to, you know, who's been questioned and kind of where we are and who's left. And then, you know, I could probably answer that question a little bit better then. But, you know, the short answer is, you know, even when you speak with an individual that has been subpoenaed and will be speaking with the investigators, that conversation could lead to the need for other documents, other subpoenas. So it's I think that sometimes it's difficult in an investigation to know when to stop. And I think that that's something that will have to be decided. But I don't think we're quite ready to even have that conversation yet. So I think it's going to be a while. I think it'll be a little while. I think you can take your vacation safely.
Do you think investigators will have to talk with the governor prior to wrapping up any investigation?
I would say so. I would say so if for no other reason than to afford the governor an opportunity to address issues that have been, you know, brought up by others during the course of the investigation, much as he did recently with the Attorney General's office. So I would assume so, but we don't really have an order yet that has been laid out and expressed to us. So I couldn't tell you exactly when that might be.
From a process point of view, considering there are so many different threads for you to pull on, do you think all aspects of the investigation need to be wrapped up before your work can be publicized, or can it be done in a piecemeal fashion, one topic at a time?
My opinion, mm-hmm. but I think it should be it should come out at once with whatever is there. So if there are five areas that are being looked at, and you know, two just don't seem to be going anywhere, but the other three are, you know, then come out with those three and then move forward. You know, for example, and that is just a hypothetical,
right.
But. Yeah, I think that's better. I think if you, because then, you know, like I said, it would have to come to the assembly floor for consideration by the body as a whole. I wouldn't think that you'd want to handle it piecemeal like that. But that's just my opinion, Dave. I really don't know. I would imagine that would be a decision that would be reached by the committee as a whole, as we go forward.
And finally, this impeachment inquiry represents a very public and significant check on the executive branch. And during the first 10 years of the Cuomo administration, I think it's fair to say the legislature never dared to do anything even close to this. So moving forward, regardless of who's governor, would you like to see a more active legislature, including showing more willingness to utilize its subpoena power?
I think it's very important that both the Assembly and the Senate mm-hmm. acknowledge their role as part of, you know, a co-equal branch of government. And I think that a government where there are checks and balances, I think is a healthy thing. And I think that whether it's, you know, the Assembly taking a greater role of oversight, I think that probably should always be something that the Assembly is ready to do if it's necessary in order to provide, you know, that check and balance. And I think having this go forward is very important. And I think that's why I feel it's so important that we get it right, that we take the time that we need to take, that we're thorough, that we're fair, that we're, you know, we're doing this in the right way. Because, you know, as we discussed earlier, this doesn't have, particularly regarding an impeachment investigation of a governor, you know, we don't have the precedent. So I think we're making precedent now. We're creating the mechanism that we would use, hopefully, going forward. And I think it's got to have the right integrity. And that's as I'm approaching my work, that's the way I'm thinking. And I hope that it wraps up. But I also think that in the meantime, we need to do our work. Unfortunately, for many people following this who want it to be over, you know, yesterday, it is taking some time to do it. But I think that if people have the understanding that it is such a broad inquiry, it's far broader than what the Department of Justice or the Attorney General's office have been doing, that maybe there'd be some understanding and a little patience that, you know, it's important. It is history making in many respects, and I think we need to get it right. So that's when I'm looking at my work, that's what I'm keeping in the front of my mind.
Well, we've been speaking with Assemblymember Mary Beth Walsh. She is a Capital Region Republican and a member of the Chamber's Judiciary Committee, which is tasked with leading an impeachment investigation into the governor. Assemblymember, thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's a pleasure talking to you.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.